BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, Washington State fans, you may feel like you got done dirty. Jake Dickert, football coach at Washington State, who obviously was sort of the flag bearer for Washington State fans as they were rallying around their program in the last couple of seasons. He's left. He's going to Wake Forest. He's trading Pullman for Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Tobacco Road. Not a great football job. And it's got a lot of people talking about the potential for this to be very bad for Washington State. Is it, though? Oregon State fans, you know you've been through it. You've seen 20-plus players get into the transfer portal. You've watched a new coach come in and try to hold the roster together. You've suffered through a season in which depth isn't going to, you know, be your friend. And in the end, I think Oregon State fans still feel like there's a climb in front of them. Jake Dickert in Washington State, I would love to know, to be able to look 10 years into the future and see what happens to Washington State and see what happens to Dickert, and then really kind of unpack whether or not the guy's better off. Is he truly better off? Or is he just fed up, like a lot of people are with the ecosystem of college athletics? I wrote it today at johncanzano.com. It is a testament to Jake Dickert's resilience that he withstood the defection of two coordinators 3 years ago. He endured the downfall of the Pac-12 conference. He got abandoned by his athletic director. He now, in this season, by the way, Cam Ward left him too. And in this season, he was facing the loss of John Mateer, his best player, into the portal, along with 19 other players. And I think Jake Dickert, who got an offer from Wake Forest, finally just looked around and went, it ain't happening. I am so tired of this. I'll take whatever else. The old saying, any port in a storm. Jonathan Smith's actions last season sort of mirror that, even though I think he took a better job at Michigan State than Jake Dickert took at Wake Forest. I think as I unpack it all, I see a lot of problems with college athletics. I see a transfer portal calendar that's broken. I see an ecosystem that is tilted so badly in the direction of the Big Ten and the SEC that I don't know how people stand to have a chance to win. I am left feeling like Jake Dickert ran for the nearest exit when he saw more trouble and another headache coming. We're going to get a visit in about 5 minutes from Jason Puckett, longtime radio personality in Seattle, Washington State guy, hosted a show on KJR in Seattle for a long time, now is doing PuckSports.com. He was on the call. I was on the call with Ann McCoy, the athletic director at Washington State today. He was on the call as well. And McCoy was, I don't want to say she was spinning it, because anybody in her position is going to spin it. But she was sort of trying to make sense of what had happened to Washington State and what's going to happen next to Washington State. And, you know, she was asked about Jake Dickert when he informed her of his decision to go to Wake Forest.
But speaking directly, Jake and I talked about this opportunity that he was offered at 7:45 this morning. So that was the first time that I spoke with Jake. In all fairness, he did try to catch me via phone maybe an hour earlier. But this morning is the first time that I talked directly with Jake about this opportunity.
This morning at 7:45 was her first chance to talk to Jake Dickert about the opportunity, which means you don't have a chance. There's no counteroffer. He's gone. Here's Ann McCoy saying this is what happens next.
You know, a lot of what we're experiencing right now feels a lot like kind of the new world of college athletics and football. And I think it's easy to get sucked into all of the changes and everything that we've had happen in the last, you know, we'll just say week or two, on top of, you know, the last year or two. But I have just been reminded time and time again in meeting with our current players and coaches that are still here and hearing from so many of our former players and former coaches, it just reminds me what an amazing place Washington State University is. And while change sometimes can be frustrating or difficult or create uncertainty, I'm a strong believer that change brings about the opportunity for new beginnings.
She's selling, isn't she? And why wouldn't she? I mean, what's she supposed to do? Come on to the news conference and go, well, this really sucks and we don't know what to do. But I talked about this starting at about week five, week six of the season. I started asking Ann McCoy, hey, are you talking to Jake Dickert? Are you talking to his agent? Has there been any talk about a contract extension? Why not offer him a lifetime deal? Why not say, hey, we want Pullman to be your forever place? She said during the news conference today that she had been in contact with Dickert off and on throughout the season, his agent as well. Maybe there's nothing that could be done. I don't want to nitpick her because I don't really know what those conversations were like. Was he receptive to those kinds of things or not? But here's a dirty little secret that I do know. The trustees, the regents at Washington State, they were upset with the athletic department. About a year ago, we started hearing talk about how there was overspending in the athletic department and there would have to be cuts. And there was $11 million cut from the athletic department budget. An $85 million a year budget was cut down to 74. And I was told as this season went on that there was a little bit of hesitation from Washington State about approaching Dickert and selling him on the idea of a lifetime contract with a raise, particularly because it was going to be a bad look in front of the regents who just said, hey, you need to cut money. You need to cut salary. You need to spend less. The harsh reality is this. When you look at the college football playoff bracket, it becomes evident that you need to make money to win, and you need to make money and spend money to participate at the highest levels of college athletics. And I am left looking at the bracket. I literally could tweet out the bracket right now without the names of the schools. I could just put the numbers, you know, the number one seed in the tournament, Oregon, $153.5 million athletic department budget. The number three seed, Boise State, $50 million. These two teams presumably could meet in a national championship game, $153 million against $50 million. And oh, by the way, Oregon's not the greatest not the most lopsided comparison. You know, you've got Ohio State and you've got Tennessee playing in a game where, you know, budget $251 million will play budget $154 million. Ohio State spends $100 million more than Tennessee. They'll play in a first-round game. And then Oregon, if it gets to the national championship game, just think about this. Oregon will have to play the three schools in the bracket that have the highest athletic department spending. It will have to play Ohio State. It will have to play Texas. It will have to play Georgia. You're talking about the three most difficult teams to deal with from a financial standpoint in the bracket. Oregon has to beat all three to get to the national title game. I think the only justice there is that it's not Boise State that has to deal with all three. Boise State will only have to deal with presumably it's $50 million budget against Georgia's $200 million budget. There's something not right about college athletics. There's something broken here. I think the Dickert defection to Wake Forest speaks to it. I think he's running. I think he's also going, I am so tired of what's happening with losing coordinators and losing quarterbacks and not having NIL money that I'm just going to go to the ACC because it's a Power Four conference and I can use Wake Forest as a stepping stone to get where else I want to get, because ultimately the Wisconsin job is probably the job Jake Dickert really covets. But man, it was kind of sad stuff today to kind of see that happen and then really talk with Washington State fans who are much in the same position that Oregon State fans were in when Jonathan Smith left their program just a year ago and went off to East Lansing. I'd love to hear from Beaver fans what advice you would give to Washington State fans. I'd love to hear from casual onlookers, Oregon fans, Washington fans, to what you make of this. Because I don't think it's done. I think there's going to be such further consolidation in college athletics that the Big 12 schools and the ACC schools, I think ultimately too, are going to face the real, very real possibility that they're going to get squeezed too. Stephen Vaughn, you were on that news conference, and Ann McCoy was talking, and we're going to be joined here momentarily by Jason Puckett, who is a commentator and a big Washington State fan. But you were on that call. I mean, there was definitely a sobering reality going on in the background.
There definitely was, yeah. And you're right with Ann McCoy. There's a lot of spinning, but like, what else is she supposed to do? I felt like she was kind of honest in a lot of these situations as well, though. Kind of talking about like, look, you can't take this personally. This happens in college athletics and college sports. This isn't the first time a Washington State coach has left. Now, it's maybe the first time that they've left for a job that may be on the same level as Washington State is. Like, if you look at a Wake Forest, you look at a Washington State, is that the same level job? It might be, except for Wake Forest is in the ACC. I did find it interesting that she mentioned, you know, the 7:30 in the morning. Like, that's the first time she really heard it from Jake Dickert of, that's when I'm leaving. It's just one of those things where, yeah, you got to spin it. It's a spin doctor type of thing with Ann McCoy, and she did that. But when that was Washington State's move, like, you can't take it personally. That was my whole thing. It's the same with the Oregon State situation. Like, he left for a better job in his mind, and John Smith did the same thing. They have to move forward. But I did wonder, John, if John Mateer says, I'm staying at Washington State, does that change Jake Dickert's mind at all? Like, that was first thoughts.
Don't you think so?
I think so. It would have to be, right? Like, he waited, and then it was, what, the other day where John Mateer said, yeah, I'm in the portal, and now Jake Dickert's gone as well? So, I'd have to assume it would have had some type of effect on it.
Yeah, I think, I think ultimately, if you are John Mateer, you held the keys to this, because I think if John Mateer stays at Washington State, I think Jake Dickert, it's a very different equation. I think it's a very different conversation for Jake Dickert, because I think he's got a quarterback. But he loses his coordinator. He loses his, starting quarterback. He's got 19 other players that are in the portal. You start as a coach. There's just so much that one guy can take. Jason Puckett, PuckSports.com, joining us. He's got his finger on the pulse of Washington State athletics. Go ahead, Puck, man, your rapid reaction to that.
All day long. I mean, just a wave of emotions. I'm an alum, so it's you just want people there that want to be there, right? That want to be at Washington State. And I think that's a hard thing for a lot of alums just seems like, he didn't want to be there. He kind of felt like he had one foot out the door all season long. And I think that you look at their collapse late in the season, I think it just begs the question, how much was Jake Dickert fully invested, I think, in the football program as they were, losing 3-4 games in a row and then just a horrendous loss at the end of the season against Wyoming. I think it's legitimate to ask that. It's warranted to ask that. And it's a sad day for that school, and I think a sad day for college football.
Does it hit harder because he's the guy after games saying, we belong? It was very much the feeling that he was in it with Cougar fans.
Yeah, John. I think it's the crying after the Apple Cup. I mean, I think you really wanted to believe that he would be the one that's different, right? In a day and age of college athletics where it's about me, the money, the portal, where can I get mine, where's the next best opportunity, I think many of us thought, I think he's against the grain. He's not going to be the one that's going to take the biggest pile of cash and move on. But, you're mistaken. I say this all the time, probably said it to you when you've joined my show. They're all professional liars, and they have to be. They can't tell you the truth. They just can't. If they told you the truth, they'd all be out, right? So you always have to keep that in mind when these guys talk to you, that they're really, they're professionally lying to you. But I think it makes it a little harder when he's urging on the fan base to spend and to be invested, and we need you, and we need to keep our kids here. And then, you know, 8 days, 9 days before a bowl game with seniors leaving that he had a part in recruiting, some of them, that he's decided to enter the portal himself.
Puck, the John Mateer, you know, I guess recruitment, the second recruitment of Mateer, because that falls short, I'm leaning towards thinking that was the tipping point for Jake Dickert. When Mateer says, I'm out, he's going, I gotta hire coordinators again. I gotta find a new quarterback again. It's Groundhog Day for him. Do you think was it Ben Arbuckle? Was it Mateer? What was the blow that you think that was the straw that broke the camel's back?
I think he was really attached to John Mateer for sure. So I think when John made that final decision, that I think that probably cemented to him that he had to move on elsewhere. But I don't believe for one second that it was like, oh, he's leaving, you know, like it caught him by surprise. I think there was a real idea for him for a while that he was thinking about leaving, and I think the same thing for Dickert. So I think he had it in the back of his mind, hey, if he ends up staying, then I'll stay another year. But the second he made that choice, I think it was, you know, how do we win next season? You know, this is my best opportunity. I know we failed at the end of the season, but we still have a winning record. I'm still attractive to other schools, and the time is now. I mean, John, look where the – so I think the Mateer decision had a lot into his decision for sure. He had Mateer stayed. I think he probably stays. But look where he went. I mean, he went to one of the – we're talking about one of the historically bad college football teams in America. I mean, historically bad. Three coaches in the entire program's history have had winning records there. The last guy to do it happened in 1950. I mean, that's how bad this is. So he wanted out, and he was willing just to take anything, and he took that.
We're talking to Jason Puck at PuckSports.com. If you want to see his work, does a terrific job covering college athletics, Mariners, Seahawks, and a whole bunch more. I know you've got a youth sports team to coach here. What are you coaching, by the way? What are you running off to coach right now?
I got JV middle school basketball. So we got seventh graders and sixth graders who all think they are the big man on campus. Boy, they like to tell you how important they are. You know, John, the kids say they got a lot of riz. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. I really don't.
Charisma. Really. That's charisma. All right. So, Puck, before I let you go, I had one name that popped into my head because, you know, we talked about some of the guys that are out there, and of course they're at a disadvantage because, you know, we all know that they would have looked at Idaho and Jason Eck or coaches like that that are looking to take a step up. But, you know, who threw his own name into the hat, who raised his hand, was Rick Neuheisel, who, you know, would Cougar fans take Slick Rick? Would they accept Slick Rick as the head coach?
Yeah, why not? I don't, sure. Did really Neuheisel, I haven't seen that. He wants the job?
He raised his hand. I texted him today. Sure. I said, all right, let's do it. Let's get this job going. But
guy
like,
come in there, we'll revive the Northwest Championship. He'll finally admit that it wasn't a backwards pass in the Apple Cup. You can gamble now. The coaches can't gamble, so, well, he's got to watch that. The portal's open. Sure, he brings the guitar. Yeah, why not? I'll kick the tires on anyone. I don't care. I just want someone that wants to be there. That's it. I just want somebody that wants to actually be there and understand, as Ann McCoy, the AD, said earlier today, the difficulties of the job. It's a difficult job. I think every Cougar fan and alum understands the difficulty of that job. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's a small school. It's an actual college town. You are far away from a lot of stuff, the resources and all that. It takes a real unique person to coach there. They usually get good candidates. You know, unfortunately, they don't last very long. I get that's the nature of moving up the ladder in your profession. But, yeah, I just want some stability because right now there's just no stability right around the program.
All right. Does this defection of Jake Dickert, does it affect the donors and the gift givers and the Cougar Collective? Because that's where it would really hurt.
You know, I don't know about him. I don't know about him leaving. I think the Mateer thing stings more because there was so much effort, as you know, you wrote about it, you know, more than I do, that there's so much effort put into keeping John and to have him stay there that I think donors are going to be like, hey, man, I did all this work. We did everything possible. We had $1 million or more on the table for him, and he still said no. I think that Mateer not staying actually would have a bigger effect on the donors and the collective than Dickert leaving. I mean, Dickert was a big champion of it, but I think the donors will look at Mateer bolting despite a beautiful and offer from them and say, I mean, if this doesn't work, what will? I don't want to do this again for the next John Mateer and get burned again. I can't go through it all the time.
One of the quotes I had in my piece today was from a longtime Washington State donor, and he said, quote, "I only have so many of these left in me. This is ridiculous. This bleep has got to change," end quote.
Yeah, I mean,
that's it.
Yeah, I think we all think that, right? It's got to change at some point. We keep wondering and asking when that's going to change. And I mean, until it does change, you're just going to continue to see this stuff. I mean, they've got 8 days before they play in a bowl game. They don't have a head coach. They don't have an offensive coordinator. They don't have a running backs coach. They don't have a quarterbacks coach. Their starting quarterback is out. Their starting running back is out. Starting wide receiver is out. Starting right tackle is out. Starting middle linebacker is out. Two starting defensive tackles and three guys in the secondary. I mean, it's a scout team. They're going to be playing a scout team versus a very good Syracuse team. I know Ann McCoy says they're going to play. They're committed. No way they're going to pull out. John, I'm telling you, at some point, if more kids jump in the portal, it just becomes, honestly, a safety issue. You just do not have enough people to play a football game.
Well, you've got smaller problems with this JV basketball team, so get after it. Get to practice, all right?
I'm going to tell you, these sons of guns, because I'm so angry today, usually you only do like two sets of lines at the end of practice. We're going full like 5-6 times. I want some little 12-year-old. I'm telling you right now, if their parents are listening, you may be listening to your show. There's some 12-year-old. We're going to make them throw up today.
No, don't do that. Don't punish those kids. I know you are.
I'm taking out my anger on 12-year-olds. Now,
you know what?
You know what? To go coach them is going to be a nice, just kind of break from all the madness today.
Truth to that. Thank you, Puck, for joining us. Jason Puckett, you can find him at PuckSports.com. What advice do you give to Washington State fans? Or if you're a Washington State fan, I want to hear from you as well. But if you're an Oregon State fan or an Oregon fan and you're watching what's going on, 503-417-7575, it's your turn. Weigh in.